There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
What a great intro into Midday Mobile every single weekday. But I think it might be near the end of its life cycle. It's time for Sean Sullivan and I to change that up a little bit, and I think we've got a present coming very soon, a new Midday Mobile intro. I'm Dalton Orwig, filling in for Sean Sullivan for at least the next couple of days. He's taking a little time off, and we'll be back later in the week. But until then, you got me and Kelly Finley in the morning show, and I'll take over Midday Mobile hosting responsibilities. And looking forward to today, my first time hosting Midday Mobile here at this station that I've been at for the last 5 or 6 years, and love talking with listeners. So during the show today, if you want to give a call or text, you know the line, 251-343-0106. And I believe you'll be satisfied with the guests that I have lined up for today. We've got some really good interviews planned. Going to talk with Todd Stacy, who of course is a recurring guest here on Midday Mobile. He writes for AlabamaDailyNews.com. He'll be first up to bat. Going to talk about a little bit of everything, some state politics, some national politics, with John Merrill, the Secretary of State, dropping out of the Senate race. I'll get Todd's take on how that will affect the rest of the candidates that are running for Senate in this next cycle. Also, lots going on from Washington, D.C., and internationally, with the president out at the NATO summit. Of course, in D.C., they're working on that impeachment inquiry, and it looks like they're going to pass the keys off tomorrow to the Judiciary Committee from the Intelligence Committee. So we'll talk with Todd Stacy about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, at the bottom of the hour, a guy I've talked to several times, but I knew it was time to get him back on the air to talk about the Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Their game will be played January 25th at Ladd Peebles Stadium. And I've seen the accepted invites. I think a lot of people will be happy with the players coming to Mobile this year. Of course, the Senior Bowl has been a staple of the community for years and years and years now. And we've even got a couple local guys who played high school ball around here coming home to play in that game at 1 o'clock. An interview with a man that I've known for a long time. He's an author from my home county, Clark County. Wrote this series of books called Once Upon an Apocalypse. His name is Jeff Motes. And a really cool series that he's written, that it's fictional, kind of like a post-apocalyptic kind of doomsday scenario. Really good writing. He talks about, you know, some scenarios that if the worst were to occur, what would happen? And some really lifelike scenarios and what you should do in those situations, and a great storyline to boot with that. So I'm going to get all the information about those three books from Jeff Motes, the Once Upon an Apocalypse series. And I especially hope during that interview that you call in with questions, maybe some scenarios you've given thought to. And Jeff, who's an expert on that kind of stuff, will give you some of his own opinions on what you should do in some of those situations. And then at 1:30, we'll round out the show. Dale Leash from Lanyap talking about what will happen with Hank Aaron Stadium. Now, here on this show and on Mobile Mornings, we've been talking for a few weeks now about these competing proposals, a couple different groups that want to take over the lease at Hank Aaron Stadium now that the Mobile Bay Bears have transitioned. They've moved on from us into the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Well, a private company owns the land underneath Hank Aaron Stadium, and there's a deal in the lease that if it's unoccupied for 2 years, that they would be allowed to demolish the stadium. And the Mobile City Council, they've been talking about this for a few days now. None of them want to demolish Hank Aaron Stadium, but there was supposed to be a vote today after the two two groups showed their proposals yesterday in a smaller Mobile City Council committee. They were going to vote on it today. That vote was tabled. So we'll talk with Dale Leash about that coming up at 1:30 in the show. And also the Mobile Baykeeper Bay Bash coming up. That'll be this Thursday night. And try to get Casey Calloway or someone from Mobile Baykeeper to talk about some of the really cool things you can check out if you make it up to Bay Bash. Some updates from news from around here. Of course, the Hangout Fest is a big deal every year, and I always look forward to when they release the newest artists list that'll be coming down for the next year, and that's what they did today. We know the artists that'll be coming down to Orange Beach, to Gulf Shores for the 2020 Hangout Fest, and I guess that I'm officially getting old, because 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when I was attending the event as often as I could, it seemed like I knew every single act that was showing up. I do know the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't know if they are the main act that'll close it out on Sunday night, May 17th this year, but the Red Hot Chili Peppers will be in town. Post Malone, he's a hip-hop guy who sells tons and tons of records. I know the girls love this artist, Billie Eilish, who I think she performed at halftime of the Cowboys Thanksgiving game, a 17-year-old that already has more money than I'll see in my entire life, but she'll be at the Hangout Fest. Marshmello, a DJ who, you guessed it, wears a large marshmallow on his head while he performs. Lana Del Rey, so those are some of the big names. Cage the Elephant, that's a rock group that I really dig. They'll be in town. And then kind of keeping the food theme going, Juice WRLD, without the O, just Juice, WRLD. Another name I haven't heard of, so I guess I'm officially getting old. Don't know a lot of these acts that'll be there, but a lot of food names here. And here's one, Scary Pool Party. I almost like these as much for the new names that I learned. Whipped Cream, that's a band that's coming. Blunts and Blondes, I don't know if they'll be welcomed into parts of Gulf Shores, but you can check that list out. We'll post it on our social media page, FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook, also Twitter, and I'll even try to crank up the old Instagram and get it up on there, and you can check us out at any of those social media pages. Also, a reminder, if you miss one of our live local shows and you want to go back and listen to an interview, say today you have to get out of the car and go into work, you can check out the podcast page afterwards. We load it at fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link that says podcasts, or get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn. Pretty much anywhere that you can get podcasts, you can download the FM Talk 106.5 podcasts. And I know it's only Tuesday, but we got a busy week here at FM Talk 106.5. Tomorrow, taking the Mobile Command Unit back out to Battleship Memorial Park. We're going to be live at noon from the fantail of the USS Alabama. That'll be from noon to 1, midday Mobile. And then at 1 o'clock, the Marines take over. Scuttlebutt Network with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, they'll be live at 1 tomorrow. So come see us on the USS Alabama. And then Thursday, a really cool event they have annually at Fairhope Brewing Company, the Bartenders of Christmas. This is the sixth year that they've had this event, and they have celebrity, and I'm putting celebrity in quotes, celebrity bartenders, and Thursday night is the FM Talk 106.5 night to do that. We'll be bartending from 5 to 7, so come get a pour from me or Kelly Finley or Sean Sullivan. Tips go to Wilmer Hall Children's Home. And then on Friday, we'll be live from your CBD store of West Mobile for Midday Mobile, live from noon to 2. You can find your CBD store, West Mobile, on Hillcrest Road near Grelot, across from Waffle House. So busy week coming up, and a busy show today. We'll talk with Todd Stacey from ALDailyNews.com when we get back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
No Sean today. Dalton Orwig filling in on Midday Mobile. You can hear me on Mobile Mornings normally with Sean Sullivan and Kelly Finley. For at least the next couple days, it'll be Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley on the Mobile Morning Show. And joining us on Midday Mobile, as you've heard so many times before, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, ALDailyNews.com. Todd, thanks so much for joining us this Tuesday afternoon. You there, Todd? Let's see. Hiccup number one. Let's see if we can get Todd on. You there, Todd? No, not getting Todd. Very interesting. Let's see if we can work on that a little bit. Yeah, we lost the connection there with Todd Stacy. Hopefully he can connect here in a second. Okay, there we go. Can you hear me now, Todd? Hey, Todd, you there? Well, that's strange. Having some technical difficulties here. The first guest on Midday Mobile, Todd Stacy from AlabamaDailyNews.com, and for some reason not picking it up right now. We'll work on doing that here in a second. Todd, can you hear me now? All right. I don't know what's up with that. We'll try to get going with that here in a second, and we're going to talk about several things that are going on in the state of Alabama and also nationally as soon as I can figure out how to get Todd going here on the tie line. One of the big stories that's come through here lately, of course, we've all been covering and following the case of missing 19-year-old college student Anaya Blanchard, who was found last week, and they've now charged her, I guess, her alleged kidnapper and killer, Ibrahim Yazid, and seeking the death penalty for him. And they found Anaya Blanchard, of course, last week. She was missing since October 24th. And the medical examiner, since then, I hadn't seen this news until earlier today, but they have determined that Blanchard died from a gunshot wound. And prosecutors say they do believe that Yazid acted alone in this abduction and the killing of Blanchard, which is pretty important once this goes to trial, because they've charged others with hindering prosecution and disposing of evidence. And as soon as we can get Todd on, he's got some updates on that case. We'll talk about that. Also, Secretary of State John Merrill announcing that he is dropping out of the Senate race, and where that leaves us as far as the other contenders for Senate, of course, with former Attorney General and former Senator Jeff Sessions entering the race late. That changed things for a lot of the contenders, and John Merrill the first to admit that was what will knock him out of the race. And oh, there we go, Philip. Thank you. All right, we got Todd Stacy on the line. Todd, I'm not sure what happened there, but thanks for calling in and helping fix the situation here.
It's probably my fault. I was telling a joke about Sean and being out today, so I guess it's my fault.
Yeah, the tie line gods got you. They zapped you right when I was trying to get you on the air, but thanks for calling back in so we could talk about some of the stuff going on around the state and around the nation. And I was just talking about, I guess, the first casualty in the Senate race in the Republican primary, John Merrill announcing this week that he's dropping from the Senate race, and he said that with former Attorney General Jeff Sessions entering the race, that kind of changed his path.
Yeah, and it's really no surprise there. I mean, anybody that had seen some of the polling that had come in really over the last couple of months, Jeff Sessions' entrance into the race really changed everything. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated Secretary Merrill really acknowledging that and not pretending it wasn't anything else. I mean, he said that directly. He said, look, you know, Sessions coming in, it has changed everything. And if you looked at the polling at the beginning, when Merrill got in, he had a pretty big splash at the beginning, and he was polling anywhere from, you know, 12% to 9%, depending on what poll you looked at. But once Sessions entered, he was down to like 6 in the latest poll that we had. And that was, you know, he was running, what, 4th place, 5th place?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, behind Roy Moore. There really wasn't a path to victory. So go ahead and, you know, get out. When you get out this early, your name doesn't appear on the ballot. And so he can chalk it up as a, you know, hey, no harm done. Nothing, no problem here. And it actually gets a good press day out of it because everybody's been, you know, talking nice about it.
So
a good decision. Live to fight another day. And remember, He can run for governor next time. He can run for Senate governor. You know, he's got a lot of options next time after getting out of this race.
And of course, he's the acting Secretary of State, but I'm not sure he had the name ID of course, Jeff Sessions or even Bradley Byrne, and of course, Tommy Tuberville, a big name here in Alabama. Do you think his role as Secretary of State played any part of him dropping out? Was there any issues of him being in charge of the ballots? Do you think he was not looking forward to some of those questions?
No, but I do think it's going to keep him from endorsing anybody. I think his role as Secretary of State will probably keep him from throwing his weight behind anybody. Maybe he has a preference, maybe he doesn't. But to the extent that he could get some of his supporters to go support a Byrne or a Tuberville or a Sessions, I don't think he's going to do that because, yeah, now that he's out, he really is just in his role as Secretary of State, which is the overseer of elections. So that would seem to be tipping the scales a little bit. So I don't think you'll see John Merrill endorse.
Where do you think his supporters go? Just if he doesn't endorse anyone, they have to go somewhere naturally. Do you think they'll kind of split between Byrne and Sessions, or do you think some might go over to Tuberville's camp or even Roy Moore's camp?
You know, Dalton, that's a big question, and I wish I had a scientific answer for you. A lot of these campaigns, when they do polling, especially if it's sophisticated polling, they'll ask that question, you know, all right, well, who's your second choice? You know, if this is the first choice of your candidate, who's your second choice candidate? We've not seen any of that made public as far as who's your second choice candidate. I will say that generally speaking, when that kind of stuff happens, the front runner benefits, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and in this case, it's probably true. Jeff Sessions is the front runner according to multiple polls that have been released. And so you've got to think that folks from John Merrill's camp are gonna latch on to the front runner. But I do see similarities between his campaign and Bradley Byrne's. Maybe there's a Tuberville factor too. But I do think probably the biggest beneficiary is Jeff Sessions, who's sitting there on top of the poll.
I know Congressman Byrne, he just released his first ad for television, and Roy Moore just released a new TV ad. With the primary, it'll be here really before we know it. When do you think, and maybe we're already in it, but when do you think we'll really start seeing these candidates start blitzing the media?
You know, that's what we've been asking for the past several weeks. When are they really going to start? And so here we go. One who I was waiting for was Bradley Byrne because he's fundraised extremely well. He's obviously very well known and very well loved down in Mobile. His polling in the Mobile and Baldwin counties is extraordinary. He's leading down there. But, you know, he needs to really make a dent in places like Huntsville and Birmingham, where his polling just isn't very good because nobody knows who he is. So I've been waiting this whole time to see, okay, when do they start? A lot of times these campaigns, sort of the old rule of thumb is you want to wait to get on TV and radio until you can actually stay up until election day, right? Mm. So that's still a few months away. It's March 3rd. So nobody wants to run out of money at the very end. So they've been waiting and waiting. So here they go. They've got a bond. We're not sure exactly how much money has been spent, but I'm told from the campaign it's a pretty good chunk of change. So they're going to be up in Huntsville. They're going to be up in Birmingham. That's exactly where Bradley Byrne needs to be. He needs to get his name ID, his profile raised in those areas, and that will really begin to see his poll numbers rise if he can make a dent in those areas.
And we can wrap it up talking about the president, who he's in the news every single day. Of course, this week he's out in London for the NATO summit, where he and French President Macron have been kind of swapping, I guess insults. Pretty good way to say it. They've been going back and forth at each other. But here at home, the impeachment inquiry rolls on, and House Intelligence Committee kind of passing the baton over to the investigation committee. What's going on there in Washington this week with the inquiry?
Yeah, you know, we wrote about it today. If you go back and think about it, Speaker Pelosi said earlier this year that she was very reluctant to pursue impeachment because it needed to be a bipartisan exercise. And without bipartisan support, it'd be very hard to pursue impeachment. Well, that hasn't materialized. It just hasn't. There aren't any Republicans out there in the House and the Senate that are supporting this impeachment inquiry. So this is not bipartisan. It is extremely partisan. And I think Democrats face a choice right now whether or not to actually press forward with this. Mm-hmm. They say they're going to in the House Intelligence Committee and the Judiciary. I think it's a tough road to hoe. I think they risk a lot with voters right now of pushing something that really, if you look at the polls, is pretty unpopular amongst the independent and the swing state voters.
It'll be interesting. Lots to keep up with both here in the state and nationally, and that's why subscribing to the ALDailyNews.com newsletter, one of my favorite ways of keeping up with the news. How can people subscribe?
Well, thanks, Dalton. It's really easy, and now is a great time to subscribe. Plus, it's free. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. hit subscribe, enter your name and your email, you'll be on the list. We'd love to have you as a subscriber.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Todd.
All right. Y'all be good.
That's Todd Stacey, ALDailyNews.com. Coming up, we talk with Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
No Sean Sullivan today. Dalton Orwig sitting in on Midday Mobile. Hope you're having a fine Tuesday afternoon. A little chilly outside, but I guess it'll heat up a little bit more over the course of the week. But hey, we're in Mobile, Baldwin Counties. We've come to expect that come wintertime. Another thing we've come to expect come wintertime is the annual Senior Bowl, which is coming up January 25th at Ladd Peebles Stadium. And I'm excited to talk to our next guest here, Jim Nagy, the executive director of said Reese's Senior Bowl. Jim, thanks for joining me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
So an event that I look forward to every single year, and not just the game itself, but the entire week leading up to the Senior Bowl. You got all the big names in the NFL world, all the GMs, all the coaches except those getting ready to play in the Super Bowl. They all come down, and I love the week. Tickets on sale now, is that right?
They are, yeah. No, it's an awesome week. Like you hit it on the head. For a city the size of Mobile to have, you know, a big national event like Senior Bowl is pretty awesome. Yeah, tickets are already on sale. We're, you know, the thing that usually drives ticket sales are quarterback announcements. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the quarterbacks we've invited are all waiting till after they play on Saturday in their conference championship games to make an announcement. So, yeah, we expect next week to be unloading a bunch of tickets when we are able to announce who some of these quarterbacks are going to be. We're excited about it.
And that's good news for us, the fans, that we're waiting until after the conference championships, because that means pretty darn good quarterbacks might be on their way.
Yeah. It's an exciting group. You know, we're a couple of these guys will probably be on the way to New York for the Heisman presentation, and a couple of them are probably going to be first-round picks. So it's going to be an exciting class when we can announce it.
Dropping a few hints there. Did y'all catch that? So piece two and two together. You might know who might be on their way. So, Jim, you took over as the executive director last year. This will be year two for you. How have things changed for you and the scouting team since last year? Is the process maybe flowing a little more smoothly this year?
We're much further ahead than we were a year ago. So last year was the first year that we actually put a scouting staff together. Everyone on our staff had previous NFL ties. That was important that we had a veteran group of evaluators, guys that I've worked with, guys that I trust. The nice thing was that last year's group, they all got jobs back in the NFL, and one got a job in the CFL. So we had to restock this year with we added two more, so we have six full-time scouts on the road all fall. And the nice thing was, last year going into the fall, we had nothing. We were starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. Whereas this year we started work on this year's Senior Bowl class last March. So all through last spring and all through last summer, we were watching tape and building our board ready, you know, in preparations for this year's game. And then, bringing these new six scouts on board and going out and going to the games in the fall, we were just kind of fine-tuning things. So we're able to recruit much more. We do most of that over social media. And just the response from the players has been overwhelming. So far, we haven't had any player decline an invite yet, which I thought last year was good. We had six guys decline our invites, and that was a lot of progress. And this year, we haven't had any. So the buy-in factor from the players makes us feel pretty good where we're headed with this year's game.
Yeah, the game's really become more important than ever for some of these guys that are trying to make it a career in the NFL. And I want to talk more later about some of the guys you've invited and have already accepted invites, maybe some of the local names that we'll be seeing come back home to play in their final collegiate game. But I also want to get into the current season with you, which, of course, is nearing its end. Got the conference championship games this weekend and the annual Army-Navy game the following week. But a crazy Iron Bowl on Saturday with Auburn beating Alabama 48-45. And I saw through your Twitter feed, which you mentioned social media a minute ago, you're a great follow on Twitter, at Jim Nagy _SB. But you were there in Auburn for the game. What were your thoughts on that just insane? I mean, 48-45, I'm not sure anyone saw that coming.
Yeah, it was an awesome game. It really was, because you had a bunch of high-end talent all over the field on both sides of the ball for both teams. And then it was, you know, it was a high scoring game. So there's, you know, that's always exciting. And then just the back and forth nature of it with the 10 different lead changes. And man, you couldn't ask for a better game. I mean, I know Alabama fans were, there's always, you know, there's got to be a winner and a loser. And Bama fans are probably bummed out about the outcome. But just from an impartial perspective, which I am, it was a great football game. It was a great environment. You know, Auburn, the fan base there does an awesome job on game day. And it was what college football is all about.
Yeah, everyone I've talked to who was able to make it to Auburn for the game, they're still exhausted now 3 days later. And I'm sure that's just because of the amount of points that were scored. I mean, back and forth all the way. When you look at these teams' rosters, just like every year, you got future NFLers on both sides of the ball. For Auburn, specifically Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson there on the defensive line, they seem to be the names mentioned the most, and both had dominant seasons. How coveted do you think they are right now among NFL teams?
Yeah, they're at a couple different levels in terms of draft prospects. They were both have had great years. Both of them made big jumps as players. They both probably could have came out last year and been drafted, but they both significantly helped themselves. Derek's in a stratosphere where, you know, we talked to Derek a little bit, and he's trying to make up his mind about the Senior Bowl after the season ends. You know, I think he's going to get a better feel for that the next couple weeks, but He's realistically played himself into a top five, top ten pick, so he might be a hard sell to get down to Mobile. We'll do our best, but you know, he doesn't have a whole lot more to show in terms of what he is as a football player. Marlon, you know, Marlon's probably, you know, right now in the NFL's eyes, probably a third or fourth round pick, but a really good player. It's just hard to compare him to Derek, because Derek's in a totally different stratosphere. But Marlon had a great year. He took a jump. We're really excited about getting those two Auburn guys down here. And then Prince Tegu-Onogo, their left tackle, is a really talented guy as well. They held Alabama sackless the other day, and Prince Tegu was a big part of that. So, yeah, three Auburn guys were really excited to get down to Mobile, and we'll keep working on Derrick Brown.
Yeah, I wonder if Prince Tegu-Onogo, if he's the first royalty to come down to the game, because I didn't know. I thought it was just a first name, but he's an actual prince from his home country, and that'll be really cool to see some of those Auburn guys come down. When you look at Alabama, of course, they were down quarterback Tua Tagovailoa after he suffered that injury against Mississippi State. But as far as draft prospects not named Tua, seems like the receivers have been talked about constantly this year. You got the big three, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, and Henry Ruggs. But it was the sophomore who stole the show Saturday, Jalen Waddle. Give me your thoughts on some of these guys.
Yeah, unfortunately, the loss by Alabama kind of hope people don't lose sight of what a game Jalen Waddle had. That was a really impressive performance. Whatever, I think he had three touchdowns on his four catches, and then he had the big return touchdown. So hard to be more impactful for that. He's Jalen Waddle, just going back in my scouting experience in the NFL, I haven't seen a returner that dynamic since probably Devin Hester. Mm. Devin Hester is probably the best returner in NFL history. So I think Waddle's got a really bright future doing that. And then that receiver group, I mean, they're all a little bit different. They all kind of get clumped together. You know, it's like the three or four headed monster in Alabama. And you kind of just, I think people refer to them as the Alabama receivers, but they're really all kind of different. But they're all playmakers. That's the thing that differentiates them from a lot of receiver groups in the league, or you know, around the country, is that all four of those guys can score from anywhere on the field at any given time, and that's rare. If you're a college, you know, team, you'd be lucky to have one guy like that, and they've got four, so pretty unique group. And like you said, Bama's loaded NFL talent wise. There's I had a couple friends that I spoke to up at the game, and they thought Alabama might have 10 players drafted in the top 50 of this draft.
Wow.
Which is remarkable. Not all of those guys are Senior Bowl eligible. Most, you know, we're in a situation now where most of the great Bama players leave as juniors. So, it's a really talented team. Unfortunately, they're not going to get in the college football playoff. But it was a loaded team, and they had a good year.
Yeah, and a big reason they're not going to get in the playoff, Tua's injury. How do you think that hip injury affects his draft stock, and is there any chance with that happening he hangs around for a final season of eligibility?
Yeah, I think anything's at play right now. I think the family really has to make a decision, and I don't know if there's a wrong decision, but there's really like four options. He could he could come out in the draft and roll the dice, you know, and let teams roll the dice on what that hip looks like. If it's healthy enough by, you know, early July for him to get a workout in and show the NFL teams he's healthy, he could go in the supplemental draft. He could go back to school next year and try to play at least part of the season and prove to teams that the hip is better. Or he could just, you know, sit out the year and then go through the draft process next year, come to the Senior Bowl, you know, have pro day, have private throwing workouts, again, to show the teams that the hip is okay. But, again, so he's really got four options laid out in front of him. And I think that's going to be the storyline of the spring is what decision does the family make.
That'll be really interesting to watch. And also interesting this weekend, the conference championships. After that, the final college football playoff rankings of the year. And we won't get the newest ones until tonight. But do you agree with the current top four? I'm not sure whether you think they'll change or not tonight. Ohio State at 1, LSU at 2, Clemson 3, and Georgia 4. What are your thoughts on those top four right now?
You know, they're all really good teams. So if you say you don't agree, it's almost like you're putting one of them down. They're all really good. I think the way it's going to play out over the weekend, I would be surprised if LSU lost. I really would. The type of season they're having, they just seem like they're on one of those magical runs. It's going to be tough in Atlanta. That's going to be a home game for Georgia. So, you know, if they can jump on LSU quick and keep that crowd in it, I think Georgia's got a good chance. They have a really good team. But if they fall out of it, I think the four team that'll get in is Utah. And, you know, just because they play out west, I don't think a lot of people, you know, in our part of the country get to see Utah a lot or are familiar with them. But, mm-hmm. you know, we have five of their defensive players committed to play in the Senior Bowl. They probably have seven guys on their defense that are going to get drafted. They've got a running back, Zach Moss, who's going to start in the NFL next year. He's, you know, one of the best running backs the Senior Bowl's had in the last 10 years. I mean, the guy's, you know, probably a second round pick right now. So they're really good. Utah's loaded as well. It's going to be, regardless of what shakes out this weekend, it's going to be a great college football playoff this year. I don't think there's going to be any blowouts. I think you're going to have, you know, two really good semifinal games and then a great final.
Exciting stuff. Jim, can you hang on and talk with me in the next segment? I want to talk more specifically about the Senior Bowl we got coming up.
Absolutely.
All right, talking with Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Follow him on Twitter at @JimNagy_SB. And we'll talk about some of the local names coming home for their final collegiate game and also some big names from the past, from last season, making their name in the NFL this year. Coming back, more Midday Mobile on the way right here on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And Midday Mobile rolls on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Dalton Orwig in for Sean Sullivan today, joined by Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy, talking about the January 25th edition of the Senior Bowl coming up in just about a month and a half, and looking forward to it as always, Jim. And also looking forward to you're going to join us Friday mornings for Football Friday from here until the Senior Bowl as we get ready and get updates on what you got going on over at LAD, right?
Yeah, Dalton, that Fridays are going to be fun. That's a tough day for me during the fall because I'm usually traveling out to a game, but from here on out, I'll be sticking around Mobile, so look forward to joining you guys.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to talk about, the crew you've got in place. And earlier you said that a lot of your staff from last year moved on and got coaching jobs or assistant jobs in the NFL and CFL. That's got to feel like a head coach who all of your coordinators and assistants get promotions the next year. So that's pretty cool. I'm wondering, what was the average week this year like for you and your team? I know you sent a lot of guys out on the road to watch these games in person.
Yeah, so we have six scouts all across the country, and then I'm here in the office, and then we've got three scouting assistants here in Mobile as well. So, you know, there was really 10 of us, and there was a lot of weekends this year where guys were double dipping and going to an afternoon game and then driving to a night game. So there were some weekends where we were at 12, 13, 14 games on a weekend. And so, you know, why that's important is that we're doing our own work. So we have a lot of legitimacy with the 32 NFL teams. They see us out there on the road. We're not just going to them for, you know, advice on players. We're doing our own work. Of course, last week we finished up calls with over half the league's GMs and directors just to kind of get their input on who they want to see at the bottom end of our roster, help us fill this thing out at the very end. But It's really important we do our own work. We saw, I believe the final tally was 114 of the 130 FBS schools live in games, which is huge. We've never had a scouting staff before. I think it's really important. I think it takes the power away from the agents a little bit. I think, you know, agents have really controlled All-Star games for a long time. And, you know, when you're relying on other people to fill out your roster, sometimes you're not making real sound decisions. You're just going off, you know, favors and, other things like that. So it's really important we're doing our own work. And that's why, you know, last year to have 93 guys drafted and 10 in the first round, I think that started to bear itself out, and I think we're going to have an even better year this year.
How do you find out about some of the names from the smaller schools? Do you get, like, a hotline tip from some of these coaches? Or because you pull some of these guys out from schools that the average fan hasn't heard of.
Yeah, we do. So we're going to do all the work on the big schools, all the FBS-level schools ourselves. That's on our staff. And then really for the smaller schools, that's just relying on my relationships of 20 years in the National Football League of friends calling up and saying, hey, Jim, you guys better check out this kid at St. John's in Minnesota, you know, which is a Division III school. There's no way we would have known about a kid at a Division III school in Minnesota without having friends in the league. So that's why having a background in the NFL is so important. You know, Phil Savage, my predecessor, was GM of the Browns and had a lot of friends in the league. And I know that he used that pipeline a lot in those relationships, and I've had to do the same thing, because there's no way, even with the great staff that we have, on our budget and not being in schools every day, it's the only way you can get it done.
And it's such a great service for those guys, because they might not have been heard from if they weren't able to come down to Mobile and do the workouts, pregame practices, and then hopefully star on the Saturday that the game is played. Once again, talking with Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. We got kickoff at 1:30 on January 25th, 2020. Tickets on sale now. And last year, many of the guys that you had on the roster for last year's game already making huge waves in the NFL. I'm thinking first off of a couple quarterbacks, Gardner Minshew with the Minshew Mania, and Daniel Jones. They're already starting for their NFL teams. And then Deebo Samuel, Hunter Renfrow, Garrett Bradbury, some of the guys that have gotten a ton of playing time this year. But you could have seen them last year in Mobile before they took off in the NFL.
Yeah, no, it was a great class. And that's been the most fun part of this new job for me is to see this class, last year's class, go on and have success. And like you said, we've already had four starting quarterbacks out of last year's game. Daniel Jones has been doing some really good things in New York. You know, they don't have many pieces around Daniel right now, but for a rookie quarterback, he's played really well. You know, Gardner Minshew looks like the long-term answer in Jacksonville, which is pretty awesome for a sixth-round pick. Mm-hmm. And then Drew Lock got his first win this past week in Denver. In his first NFL start, and Ryan Finley from NC State has started a handful of games for the Bengals this year. So, last year's group was great, and you said Deebo Samuel, and you can go down the list. I mean, I think this year's all rookie team is going to be at least half Senior Bowl guys from last year, and that's the uniqueness of our event. You've got all these guys that are our future NFL stars, and you're seeing them on TV, and they were just walking the streets of Mobile, you know, whatever. 10 months ago, which is really cool. I think that I know people around Mobile really appreciate this game and having this game, but it is so unique. You know, I know that there are cities around the country who would kill to have something like this.
You know, last year prior to the game, you put a great video up on your Twitter page where you let Deshaun Davis, former hometown kid, Auburn Tiger, you let him know he was invited to the game. One of the coolest things I've seen for the Senior Bowl. That was a really cool moment. But this year, we've got at least one more local guy coming back, former Theodore Bobcat, current Florida Gator LaMichael Perine. He's accepted his invite. So that's one name that I know a lot of fans are looking forward to. You mentioned some of the Auburn Tigers. Who are some of the guys we can get excited about seeing this year?
Yeah, we're really excited to get LaMichael down here. Had a chance to meet him at the SEC Media Days. He's had a really good career at Florida. You know, and then some of the other names. We touched on the quarterbacks a little bit. But some guys that are probably going to be first-round picks right now. There's a receiver, Brandon Ayuk, at Arizona State. If you have a chance to see Arizona play in their bowl game, Brandon Ayuk is a great player. They had a receiver last year, N'Keal Harry, who was a first-round pick of the Patriots. And everyone I've talked to in the NFL has got higher grades on Ayuk than they did on N'Keal Harry.
Wow.
Really the whole receiver group. You know, Bryan Edwards from South Carolina, who set all their receiving records there. Michael Pittman Jr. at USC, who's really dynamic. And then you work across our board. Jared Pinkney is the top tight end in this draft. Zach Moss from Utah and Keyshawn Vaughn are the top two senior running backs in this class. Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina, the defensive tackle. We talked about Derrick Brown in the last segment. Javon Kinlaw might have a higher ceiling than Derrick Brown. I mean, he's a lock mid-first-round pick, and he's excited to come to Mobile and just, you know, he's not afraid to compete, and he wants to be in front of all these guys, the 900 NFL guys that are in town watching. He wants center stage, so he committed to the game. So, really, you could probably make a case right now of just the guys we have accepted invites from, 10 of them possibly going in the first round. And there's the quarterbacks that are still out there and some other juniors that we're trying to get into the game that will be first rounders as well. So hopefully that number of 10 from last year, the 10 first rounders, we can improve on that.
Well, I can't wait. Should be an exciting Senior Bowl. January 25th, Ladd People Stadium. Jim, thanks for joining us today and looking forward to talking to you on Football Friday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Friday. Thanks for having me on today.
All right. Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Get your tickets now. I mean, he just laid out a great case for going and checking out the game. Bring your kids. Have a good time. Midday Mobile rolls on. Hour number 2 coming up right here on FM.